do. But I think that next week, instead, when I was supposed to speak about sorcery and witchcraft, it's not necessarily going to be me who gives the shiur. I don't know yet who's going to give it, either myself or Dr. Reisman will give it. And I can't tell you tonight who it's going to be. And even though you'll see in Likutei Pshatim that it's going to be Dr. Reisman, that's not for sure yet, and we'll have to play it by ear. But tonight is regardless of next week, and tonight we're going to speak about the prophecy of Bilam. Now, this is, of course, a very difficult episode in history, because we know that Nevuah requires, at least going to the Rambam's perspective, a lot of preparation in order to achieve. You can't just become a prophet by having a sudden vision or apparition or seeing or hearing something which is above and beyond your normal capacity. Rather, it takes years and years of preparation in order for an individual to achieve the level of sanctity which is necessary in order to become a prophet. So if that's the case, the question is, of course, by Bilam, what kind of sanctity did he achieve, and how holy exactly was he that he should be considered to be a prophet? Now, that he achieved prophecy. Now, we know, as a matter of fact, it says in several places, that the Nevuah of Bilam was as great, if not greater, than the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is exactly what went on there with Bilam, and how we approach Bilam in order to understand how he achieved such a high level of Nevuah. So the answer, to begin in describing the answer, we're going to see a Michtam Elio here, and then we're going to go on to Reb Tzadok, of course. The Nevuah, the Michtam Elio here, of course, begins by saying, does require a lot of preparation, and yet, there's an interesting thing about Bilam. If you take a look at the third paragraph on the first page in the top right, he says, V'ayin Ramban b'perusho l'parshas Balak. Look at the Ramban in his commentary on Parshas Balak. Shekosav, who wrote, Shelo haya hu elakosim. Bilam was really, by nature, by profession, only a magician. Avolav madregos l'kovad Yisrael. But he went up in level in order for the glory of Am Yisrael to be achieved. And then you can see in the parsha the gradual ascent of Bilam. First, God came to him at night. Then he had merited seeing by daytime, awake, a malach. The Dibirimo spoke to him. Ubasof. And ultimately he went very high up, lemalas machazeh shakai, that he was able to, so to speak, see God in a vision the way a Navi and Am Yisrael did. Now, even higher than that, because we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Malachim in visions, but to Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in voice. And we've explained many times in the past that the reason why this is higher, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, is because all other Navim saw a reflection of God's message to them in their own minds. In other words, it's like a mirror. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message reflected on their screens, and the moshe we always give to that is a television screen. What happens when electrons in a cathode ray tube in a television screen start hitting the screen is that they activate the little lights which change colors in various different ways. So it's not the electrons which you're seeing. You're seeing the electrons as they impact on the colors in the screen. That's how a television works. And then what you're seeing is the image which is generated inside the television as opposed to the actual electrons. That's what happens in a regular Nevuah. And that's why there's no such thing as Nevuah by the regular Nevi'im without a vision. Why? Because what happens is that there's the Shefa Nevuah, right? We say Nigdal Shefa Nevuah, so the influence of the Nevuah which comes to the Navi, and he sees it like hitting the screen inside his own mind, and he sees the reflection off the screen. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there is no such reflection. He has the capability of grasping the, so to speak, actual electrons of the Nevuah, which was voice, without any reflection off the screen. So on the one hand, we see that as being somewhat lower because there's no vision. But on the other hand, it's higher because there's no, in that kind of Nevuah, there's no self participating. It's all the message of God. And that's why, of course, only the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was suitable for being written in the Torah. Because there was no self involved. It was all just the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Why did you say that it was lower?
Whose was lower?
Who's
a regular Nevuah? A regular prophecy is lower than Moshe Rabbeinu's. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is higher because it didn't have the self reflected, but rather was just Moshe, the word of God to Moshe. Now, what the other thing which I wanted to stress was that here by Bilam, we see that he reached a very high level. It says by Bilam that he saw a vision, but B, we know that in this point in time, the nevuos which Bilam achieved were on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu, actual voice without any visions, at least at times, because we know Chazal say that Bilam had to be given the same level of nevuos as Moshe Rabbeinu in order that the goyim should never have a complaint. They should never say, "Hey, not fair. You gave the Jews that level of nevuah. Had you given us that level of nevuah, we would have had the same capability of achieving high degrees of avodas Hashem, of divine service." So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give them at least at one point a Navi, which was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So, if you reach such a high madrega, how did it work? How did it happen? How was he able to achieve this? The Ramban writes further, I'm skipping down to the last paragraph on the right-hand side at the bottom. Bilam would think and focus on that thing which he wanted, and it would go and isolate himself, and prepare his soul, that the spirit should rest upon him. And he knows that the spirit would come to him, it would come on that matter in which he focused. In other words, through meditation. If you're familiar with Arya Kaplan's books on meditation, you know that Arya Kaplan stresses many times that meditation is the basic technique for reaching prophecy. By the way, it's not accurate to say that there is no prophecy in our day and age. It's possible to achieve prophecy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu generally does not grant prophecy in our day and age to people of our stature, even greater than ourselves. It's not that expressing myself well. What I mean to say is it's not impossible. It's just highly unlikely. But the tools and techniques are known. If one focuses oneself on meditating on God, and it's training one's mind and becoming more spiritual, there are certain techniques one can follow in order to become a prophet. And then, if one is capable of achieving that high level, then one can, in fact, achieve some degree of prophecy, even in our day and age. It's just that there's nobody on that level that we know of today. But theoretically, it's possible. So, here too, what Bilam did is he focused, he meditated. He knew that if he concentrated enough in uplifting himself in this one area, which whatever he was thinking about, then he could achieve nevuah. Not in anything else, because it required that preparation of the meditation which he used. But in that area, he knew he could achieve nevuah, and if he would have a vision in some other area of thought, he would know that that didn't come from his prophecy. He would carefully consider the right time, because he knew, I guess, through astrology and through mysticism, what the proper time would be through which he could achieve God's word. And maybe this is the time which our Chazal mentioned, which he wanted to curse. It's very interesting, Chazal, when Brachas, which says that Bilam had a special talent. The talent he had is that he knew what moment of the day God got angry. So he was attempting all those days when he was trying to curse Am Yisrael to find that moment when God would get angry, and then he would achieve his nevuah at that moment and be able to curse Am Yisrael. Yeah?
What does it mean that the moment that God got angry? I mean,
if we get to it tonight, well, if we have time, we'll get to it tonight. Later. If I don't, then ask me again at the end. Actually, we will get to it. It's early on, not late. And at that point, he would get the spirit. And not at any other time. In other words, it required two things. A, the meditation by Bilam. B, that it should be the right time. In other words, those two things, that it be a time when God is open and that he has prepared himself. When those two things came together, then Bilam could achieve nevuah. Then, Bilam would know by himself, achar kavanaso, after he had focused, shashem yomar lo, that God will tell him, ma'akov lo kabokel, that God, such in the cases in the parasha, God told him, when am I going to curse people who are not worthy of cursing? I'm sorry, he said, in the name of God, that he cannot curse those people who are not worthy of a curse. And he knew that then he would hear the word of God. He wanted to hear the word of God that he could curse Am Yisrael. But God told him the exact opposite, that he can't curse Klal Yisrael. But that was that nevuah which he focused and attempted to achieve in that manner, just that he achieved it the wrong way. Okay, in other words, the right way for us, the wrong way for him. Now, that's just an overview of how Bilam actually meditated and found the right time to be misnabe, and it happened. That doesn't answer the question of why it happened. So it says in Michlam Leo in the next section, after those three dots there, it says a very deep thing. It says v'neya inyan omok. The matter is very deep. Avokdei lo avino k'tas, but in order to understand a little bit, ulasika maskanos hadrushos lonu, and to derive the conclusions which are necessary for us from matzavenu adal, in our lower level, tzarech ladas, one has to know, sheyesh pnimius, there's an internal aspect, v'yesh pnim dipnim, and there's internal of internal. In other words, doubly internal, or even deeper, more profound. Anybody who makes a reckoning with himself, and focuses on true perspective, this is something which is an aspect of inner drivenness and inner understanding. In other words, there are many people who go through life, as we like to mention very often, not thinking, and really superficially. There are a lot of people who go through life and they feel comfortable not thinking too much about their ultimate purpose in this world and what their destiny is and how they are doing and what they are achieving. And those people are not pnimiim. Those people are not inner-directed and inner-driven, but rather they are superficial and unthinking. So a person has to be, of course, that doesn't include anybody here tonight, but of course, a person has to be pnimi. A person has to look inside oneself and know where one is holding and what is accomplishing, what one's talents are, and what is doing in proportion to one's talents. That's a level. That's pnimius. The koshkin she'enu bav mispailus chitzon is greater, and this is certainly true, when it's not because somebody stimulated you or convinced you to look within yourself, some external excitement, but rather through careful consideration, a person reached the perspective of the heart, what is truth. But the bottom line is still, that can happen. But it's only temporary. It happens to many of us during the Elul and Yom Kippur that we really understand, retain a standing of ourselves, and we feel what we should be doing, and we feel where we're falling short. It happens. Happens perhaps even several times a year. Perhaps relatively frequently, as a matter of fact. That's pnimius. Dain ein ze ela matzavo shebos hashoah. It's still only temporary. Basheru sham. It's for the moment. Adain ein lonu bitachon. We have no security. Shlo techlash riyoso achar v'zman ma. That we're not going to, again, drop away from that high level of understanding after time. Ulamocha. And the next day, tofug madregoso. The madrega slips away veinena and disappears. You know, it's well known in the yeshivas that very often, if you're lucky and you're in a good yeshiva, you hear occasionally a good shmuz or a good sicha, a good talk, right? Somebody gives a good musar talk, good machshava discussion, and you feel uplifted. And say sometimes it's even such a fantastic talk that the davening you daven after that talk is inspired. But then it wanes. By the next day, it's almost always dissipated. It's very easy, but relatively easy to achieve inspiration and inner understanding and rectification of yourself temporarily. It's hard to draw that out over a long period of time. You can have peaks and valleys, but it's very hard to stay in a plateau. So, the person doesn't have security. This point in time, this is also a form of tshuva, when a person has this high perception. But this is not absolute and complete tshuva. Concerning which the Rambam wrote, that God has to testify concerning you, that you'll never return to the sin. In other words, that you're on a plateau and you're not going to descend into the valley again. Hinei kim'at kot, because very often it happens, uvah yetzer, that the yetzer hara comes quickly, uve'ina the yetzer hara, when the yetzer hara comes, leisman the dochel atzar atov, the yetzer atov, nobody remembers the yetzer atov. Dagos pnim de pnim, what is an inner of an inner perspective? He re'iyah choderes b'leiv, it's a penetrating vision in the heart, b'chinas chorus aluchos, which is what Chazal alluded to when they spoke about the chorus aluchos, which says that the engraving, the writing on the luchos, was engraved, and Chazal say, al tikre chorus el cherus, don't read it that it was engraved, but rather it freed them. The 10, the Aseres Adibos written on the 2 tablets were freeing for Am Yisrael. Why? Because Hainu Shoyemes Oseh Nekovim Mefuloshim, truth has to make holes which penetrate all the way through Beluchos Halev and the tablets of one's heart. So it's very often a little bit of truth gets in, but it doesn't have penetrate and fully pervade and permeate the heart. That's a much higher level. Ramchal kos abereish mesilas usharim. The Ramchal writes in a famous line at the beginning of mesilas usharim, sheiz barev yis ames etzol odam machovos bolamo, has become barur and emes, clear and true to an individual what he is required to do in this world. Alright, so he says, Michtam Elo says a beautiful deek, you know, the Gra said, the Vilna Gaon said that there's no extra word in the Mesilas Yesharim until the 7th Perek. Every single word is very carefully measured and written. And therefore, if the Ramchal wrote both, it has become clear and true to an individual. Obviously, there's a distinction between clear and true. What's the distinction? Proposes Rav Dessler, Hareshiyesh Bira Blo Imus, there's clarity without truth. Vayinu Bechinas Pnim, person achieves clarity, but it doesn't really become the person. He doesn't yet live with that clarity. It's something which occasionally comes to individual, but then the Eitzhara comes and clouds it again. When it becomes not just clear, but also the truth by which a person lives, Hainu Pnim de Pnim, that's the much inner Madrega, Shadvorim Mu'umotim Etzel Lagamri, that the things become completely clear to him. Zoe Achuva, and that's the Chuva which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify upon him, Yoyid Alea, Shu Chuva Gemur, that's complete Chuva, and Eshe Eino Amedes Lishanos, which will never change. Now by Bilam, Eilucha Rasha She'eno Mesugo, there's no Rasha who's not capable, Mipam Lepam, from time to time, Liros Eisen Akud Hashem, is to see some point or spark of truth. Harayon Muzach, Chazal said, Yodim Rishoyim, Rishoyim no, Shadakam Shola. It's not that Rishoyim don't realize that they're headed to Gehenim, they realize it. Elashiyeh Shechelev Al-Kislam, but they fatten themselves. In other words, they try and distract themselves so they won't have to think this agonizing thought. So occasionally it's an individual, even in Russia, can understand this. Bilam, despite all his despicable lowness, haya isha asagus goes, he had great perceptions. Ukshechinas atzmo lishmo dvar Hashem, what did it mean that he meditated and focused near the word of God? He srakes lerega. He concentrated for a moment, v'nekudah shel kedusha yitzhar b'libo, in the spark of kedusha which was in his heart. Vayidea pratahu, and through that specific focus which he had at that time, she's rakis olav, on which he concentrated, at that point he had the capability of achieving nevuah. Now you obviously have to realize that Bilam must have had very great powers of concentration and focus. That's something which we have very little of. I just mentioned earlier this week to a different group that I had a Rebbe in high school in camp one summer in high school, who asked us if we ever were able to concentrate and focus on the same thought. In other words, the same kasha and a gemara, the same issue for 5 minutes straight. Now, it's very easy to daydream for 5 minutes straight, but it's not easy to focus a thought for 5 minutes straight. It's very hard. If you think about it, you probably can count on your hands the amount of times in your lives in which you were able to focus on a train of thought which had to do with a deep and weighty matter which you had to resolve or understand for 5 minutes straight without being distracted at all. Very difficult, especially nowadays. In the earlier days, there weren't so many stimuli. There weren't so many things which distracted you. But nowadays, very hard. You know, there's everywhere you go, there's something else which is going to distract you. So Bilam, obviously, had very, very intense powers of concentration and focus. And therefore, he had moments when he could transcend his normal rishus, his normal evil and degradation of spirit, and in fact focus on those points of Kedusha which he was capable of grasping. And therefore, he had this possibility of achieving nevuah. I'm going to skip the parentheses. Hanusha also saw at that point in time, and in that aspect, he could perceive what truth was because of that element of truth which he had in his heart. And Zeu Shabir Divrei HaGro, as he says, is what the Gro says. Shevein Hillel, he brought the Gro, we didn't see it inside. Ki b'chol pa'am shenemar v'yisam mishalo. Wherever it says about Bilam, he lifted up his metaphor. Ha'perushu, the pshat is, she'itrakeiz kerega. He concentrated for that moment, l'tzara emes, to the aspect of truth, which he knew in whatever he was concentrating on that time. So, Bilam, although he was a Rasha, was capable of concentrating on the emes which he could perceive. The Mishnah Gemara goes on now to explain another point. They're going to skip down a paragraph. Gishas Bilam al Kudas Emes. This comes back to what you asked before. Gishas Bilam al Kudas Emes, the approach of Bilam to the aspect of truth within himself, Hoisim Mitzad Midas Adin, was from the perspective or the aspect of Midas Adin, of the measure of justice. Now listen to what he says here in the parentheses. Gam gishoso la chesed, even Bilam's approach to chesed, hoysa mitzad ha-gvura, was predicated on gvura, how should I translate that? His approach towards kindness was predicated on his strict judgment. Ka'adam, and this is the definition of that. Ka'adam ha-koes ha-chisar chesed. You can have somebody who's a baal chesed, somebody who's always doing good to other people. That's chesed shebechesed. That's doing good by doing good. You can have a person who's upset that there's a lack of chesed in the world. He gets angry that there's so little kindness in the world. That's chesed, because he's focusing on kindness, but it's begvura. It's with anger or with strictness and sternness, because he's not going out and doing the chesed, he's getting angry at the lack of chesed. Do you see that? And you can have the same approach the other way around. You can have gevura, you can have strictness, and you can have strictness which comes out of kindness as well. Sometimes it has to be strict when one wants to be kind in order that people should learn a lesson. So Bilam was focused on the Midas Hadin. He wanted to punish. He wanted to eliminate. And even when he went to a chesed, such as he came here, quote-unquote, to save Moav, that's why he was summoned by Balak, he also did it through gevura, through din, by trying to eradicate the Am Yisrael. Not by trying to save Moav, but by trying to eradicate others. That was Bilam's approach. He was vayinu ke'ein geder chesed shebegvura kayadua la'adam ha'mechusar, to a person who's on a low level, zoi agisha kal biyoser. It's very easy to criticize. That's one of the easiest way, the cheap and dirty way to approach chesed. So you know, the easy way out is to just get angry at the lack of chesed in the world. So Rav Kook had a famous quote, perhaps Rav Kook's most famous quote. He said, "Hatzadikim amitim, the true tzadikim, enom kovli malarisha, don't sit." And well, he didn't sit is not part of the Hebrew. They do not complain about the evil. El mosifim, I think it's chesed, the last word in that sentence. El mosifim tov or mosifim chesed. They add good to the world. They're two madregas. One madrega is to bemoan how bad it is. That's a nice thing to do, but it's much lower. The actual high madrega is to get out there and add good to the world. Yeah.
Rather curse the darkness, they become light, right?
Yeah, is that from Eleanor Roosevelt? Who's that from? Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Yeah, I think that's a variation on the same idea, right? So that's the she came after Rav Kook, though. So in any event, the approach here is by Bilam was the other way around. He was out to get people. He was so out to get people that even his chesed was done by getting other people. So this is what coming back to what you asked before. Why that moment in time? Why was Bilam pursuing that moment of God's anger? Because that was Bilam's essence. His essence was whatever he did with anger and strife and punishment. By the way, as we've mentioned many times in the past, that's the difference between Jews and Goyim. Jews are, the fundamental mitzvah of a Jew is ahava, is love, is chesed, and therefore the fundamental yetzahara of Jews is taiva, is lust. The fundamental mitzvah, the fundamental attribute of Goyim is kina, is jealousy, and therefore they are full of strife and murder, and their primary sin is in fact the bickering and strife between nations of the world. So that's in essence what Bilam represented here. Bilam, being the Navi of the Goyim, represented the Midah of the Goyim to an even greater or more exaggerated degree than normal. And what's the Midah of the Goyim? Kaas, anger. That's the Midah of Esav as well. So that Midah of Kaas, of anger, which Bilam represented, was the way in which, in his twisted fashion, he could relate to God. And that's why when he had a moment of greatness, it was also only a moment of greatness which came about through anger. So you have that also by Jews. That's what the Mishnah was referring to before. That people who their greatness, their great zeal and fervor in Avodas Hashem comes when they can get angry at people who are doing wrong. That, says Michtamiel, is the lower level. The higher level of Avodas Hashem is to become zealous and more fervent in a positive fashion. But there is such a level, even by Jews, of getting angry. David HaMelech himself says, Misanecha Hashem Esna, those people who hate you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I too hate. And that also is a degree of zeal and fervor in Avodas Hashem. So that was the time, V'yes Mana Mesugo, there's a time of the day which is particularly suitable, La'asoga Sanagudahi, to achieve a grasp of that point. Says Michtamiel, there are times of the year which are suitable for various different types of perceptions and understandings. For instance, every yontif has its own way of relating to God, of achieving spiritual upliftment. And because God made the Bria, the world for us, and we live in time. And therefore, He made different times which have different capabilities and different attributes which we can use or abuse, depending on our perspective, in different ways. Different times bring different emotions, bring different highs, bring different lows. He knew the time of the nevuah, the time when God gets angry, because that's the type of nevuah he wanted to prophesy. And he knew the type of nevuah which he wanted to receive, a type of nevuah which would be a curse. And that's what he focused on. And since this was only an occasional thing, he couldn't uplift himself all the time. He could just uplift himself in anger. Therefore, he could only hear the nevuah in the way that he wanted or demanded. Not like Moshe Rabbeinu, shahaya muchan lekabel kol asher Hashem Yisbarach ratzo lomar lo, that who was able to achieve everything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give to him. Now, basically, yeah. Well, he didn't tie it to a particular sphere, but if I would have to guess, I would say Gvura, yeah.
Right. The other question is according to what he's saying here, so his Nevuah wasn't really on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu.
At the times that he achieved it, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any peaks and valleys. He was on a plateau, and Moshe Rabbeinu achieved that high level of prophecy in all areas. Bilam, only in those things, because he was on a level that the Michtam Eliyahu would call Birur Ve'imus. Not only did he have moments, his entire life was one on a high level. Bilam, on the other hand, only achieved that nevuah when he was able to find the right time, because we said the Bria is divided into different times which have different aspects, to link with that way in which he could achieve religious fervor, which was anger. Now, you have to understand something about Bilam, which is also in continuation to answer your question. Bilam thought he was doing the right thing. And he obviously was warped and twisted, and he had personal interests which got in the way of his perception of truth, but he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought that the right thing to do at this point in time was to destroy the Jewish nation. For whatever reason, he thought that to be true. But he thought that, and therefore he was able to do that task with religious fervor. He knew he couldn't hoodwink God. He was a prophet. What he thought was, this is the right thing to do, and therefore in this anger, he became aroused to a level of inspiration and connection with God, which drove him to pursue this nevuah at this point in time. There's a very powerful lesson in this, a very dangerous lesson. You see that a person can be very inspired and think he's doing the right thing, and in reality being doing the completely wrong thing. A person can be inspired and driven by something they think is L'shem Shamayim, and even achieve a level of nevuah as a result, and turn out to have been completely wrong. In Bilam's case, he should have realized it, because the first time he got a nevuah in which he blessed Am Yisrael instead of cursing them, he should have realized, hey, I'm barking up the wrong tree. Nonetheless, he adamantly went ahead and tried again and again and again. But in our case, where we don't achieve nevuah, and where we don't get the message from God necessarily that we're doing the wrong thing, we have to be very careful. We have to realize, even if something makes you feel inspired, and it makes you feel good and religiously right, and particularly if this is so, when you get angry, that you feel self-righteous in your indignation, that it's very often not a sign that you are feeling the right thing. You might be feeling the wrong thing, it's just that you deluded yourself with the thinking that it's right. Now, basically, until now, we've explained how Bilam was able to achieve this. There are moments in which he could focus and meditate and feel the religious fervor to the extent that he was capable of doing so. And that's what allowed him to achieve the high madrega at which nevuah came to him. But we have to understand a little bit more about why Bilam thought this was the right thing to do. And for this, we'll turn to Reb Tzadok. Let's turn the page. I want to start with you in the middle here. In the middle of the first paragraph on the top of the next page, the first column on top of the next page, there's the word avol, which is the last word on the line. It's... Yeah. Right. That's 16 lines down from the top of the column. Anybody see that? Avol ikar holech achar shorish. Achar shorish holech. Everybody's level in life goes after the source or root in one's heart. When we stumble in Bilam HaRasha, odds are Bilam HaRasha, Shemin V'Yomuzalim, was a prophet of the Goyim. Ve'in ha'nevu ha'shora b'Yisrael el ha'chocham gibor v'ashir. The prophecy in Am Yisrael, we know, the Rambam brings down from the Gemara and Shabbos, only is bestowed on somebody who's wise, powerful, and rich. Koshkein b'Yomuzalim. This truly should be true by Goyim. And it must be that Bilam had elements of being wise, powerful, and rich. Now, rich here doesn't mean that he have a lot of money. What does rich mean in Chazal? Samech b'chalko, somebody who's happy in their lot. Vashiru asamech b'chalko. And Ashir is somebody who is samech b'chalko, happy in their lot. Ve'eno ra'ayin, and doesn't feel that they don't have enough and other people have more than enough. Too much. V'gibor ha'kovesh es yitzro, and a gibor, a powerful person, somebody in Chazal, not who has a lot of physical strength, but somebody who restrains their yetzahara. Sheino ba'al nefesh chava b'taiva, and that means somebody who's not broad in their pursuit of lust. V'chacham b'taira, and somebody who's wise in Torah. Hefech gas haruach is the opposite of somebody who's haughty. Shusimin la nius the Torah. If somebody is haughty, it means he lacks Torah. The divrei Torah yordim lamata, yordim lamakom namach. They go to a low place. for Ruach Nemucha and somebody is humble of spirit. V'yodua the kol ge'er shoyte. And anybody who's haughty is generally a fool. Now the problem with that is, it says that in Pirkei Avos, Ezu t'mi talmidav shobilam arashu, who are the talmidim of Bilam? Anybody who has an ayin ra, means he's not happy with his lot. Anybody who has a nefesh rechava, in other words, he pursues his lust. And anybody who has, who's a gas ruach, who's haughty and not humble. So how did Bilam achieve nevuah? The talmidim of Bilam are the exact opposite of what Bilam, of what's necessary for nevuah. So you would assume, if the talmidim are like that, it must be the Rebbe was like that too. If the Rebbe was like that, Bilam, how did Bilam ever achieve nevuah? Okay. Like the Michlio, he had moments of inspiration. What does it mean he had moments of inspiration? How do we define that? If he was somebody who was haughty and who sought riches, and we see that in the parasha, right? What did he want from Balak? Malo beso kesev azov, right? He wanted to fill his palace full of gold and silver. And we know that he pursued lust. We saw at the end, see at the end of Parshas Balak that he arranged for, or you don't see it explicit in the Chumash, or you know from Chazal, that he arranged for the whole thing in Shittim, all that all those licentious relations which went on in Shittim. We see he wasn't exactly the a hermit, a monk. So what's going on?
Must be the Bilam was pure of all these things. And he must have taught the way of God.
Like Avraham Avinu. He was a Navi. And he knew the truth about God, that God created the world and God rules the world. He was a prophet. How can he not know that? He wasn't a false prophet, he was a true prophet. Shrei Nichtava B'Torah was written in the Torah's Nevuah. Rakol Zayob Yizgal Slibo. The truth is, you would have seen Bilam, you would have thought, oh, a Chassidish Rebbe. Or Rosh Yeshiva. He looked like he was a person who was a tzaddik, a person who was happy in his lot, a person who was not a Baal Taiva, a person who was humble. That's what he looked like. He would have seen him, and that's what he thought he was too. He thought he was somebody like that. Rakoza Yabis Galus Libo. Av, there was in what his heart revealed to he himself. Avo Mamoke Libo, but in the depth of his heart, who goi she'en lo shum shaychus. He was a guy who has, in essence, no connection l'chol shola shamalos on his cars to the things which you have to be, an ayin teiva, a nefesh shefala, and not to pursue your taivas, all those things Bilam thought he had, but he didn't really have. He was the exact opposite. Ukshigil nisoyin, when he came to be tested with this whole episode with Balak, then his barashu hefek mikulam became clear that he was the opposite of all that.
Dugmas bonim, talmidim are like children. V'shamati she'me'im ke'lev da'av. You've seen the children, very often you don't see in the parents, but you see in the children what went on in the hearts of a parent, right? A parent is very often capable of hiding what's really in their heart. It's in the chinuch of their children that it comes out what really the parent's true aspirations were. If a parent aspired for money, then his child will also aspire for money, regardless of how big a tzaddik the parent looked. As if he was. So the same is true about the Talmidim. The Talmidim pick up on not how the Rebbe behaves, but what his emotional makeup is. And that's how the Talmidim come out. And therefore, we have a distinction. The Elu Nochlin Olam Abba. That Jews all get Olam Abba. Kayadua, because it's known to Olam Abba. What is Olam Abba allude to? Rome's Labino Liba. Olam Abba alludes to the understanding of the heart. The Rambam writes at the end of Makos that in order to get to Olam Haba, you have to do at least one mitzvah lishma. One mitzvah for the sake of heaven. Why is that necessary? Because that demonstrates that you've made your heart a heart which is pursuing holiness. The fact you've done at least one mitzvah for the pursuit of holiness for the sake of heaven. That's what Olam Haba requires at a bare minimum. All Jews have a chayek olam haba. Why? V'mitzad veikus halev. because every Jew is created with a heart which is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a genetic thing. Every Jew is chel kolam haba, because all Jews in their hearts have this aspiration to achieve dveikus, to connect to God. If they don't have it, it's a sign that they're not really Jewish. And therefore, all Jews have a chel kolam haba. Mashengi tamid of shabilam, as opposed to tamid of abilam. Even if they look like they're doing things for the sake of heaven, it's not true. The Bilam atzmo nimne bosa shenlem chel kolam haba. Bilam himself is enumerated in those who don't have a portion in the world to come in the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin. Why? Because even though he was a Navi, and even though he thought he was an accomplished tzaddik, in reality he was not. In the heart, it wasn't like that. The Kvakosavti, this is very interesting what Tzadok writes here. The Kvakosavti Makamache wrote somewhere else already, the Zchir Gedoylu Bilam. It's a big schus for Bilam. B'masha nimne b'mishnah de'en l'chel kolam haba b'hadeg do'l Yisroel. That is mentioned in the Mishnah with those who don't have a chel kolam haba, with all those giant Jews who don't have a chel kolam haba. Doeg, Achitofel, Menashe. It's a big schus for Bilam that he managed to get into such a lineup of those Jews who don't have a chel kolam haba. V'nirli boror, and it seems to be clear, Dezesh amar tomos nafshi mos yisharim. Bilam said one of his newest nevuos, my soul should die the death of those who are straight. In other words, a similar death to those of Am Yisrael. Sheik shabli kutei Torah me'ari. And the Ari asked the question. Kamen shlo also lo kain. He didn't die. He died a very painful and terrible death in a war against the Jews. Kamosh kasev b'zar ha'kosh, like it says in the Zohar. Lama nichtava divrei batola shlo b'tayra. The Ari asked, why were these words, which were not true and obviously weren't part of a prophecy, written in the Torah? They're not true. They didn't come true. Ufima shekosavti, but based on what I said, says Reb Tzadok, Yesh lomar, one could say that here Moves alludes to another type of Moves, another type of death. Al derech shekosav brachos Yudah Menalach, like it says in brachos, matop meisato bolam azeh, v'lo tichkia bolam abo. I forget concerning whom it says this, but it says you're going to die in this world, and you won't live in the world to come. There are two types of death. There's a word death in this world, and a death in the world to come. Here, where he said Tamus Nafshe, he said, Mos Yishroim, a death of those who are straight. What he prophesied here is at least true, I'm losing my Olam Haba. But at least I should be enumerated with those Jews who lose their Olam Haba. Tamus Nafshe, Mos Yishroim means I'm going to be in the lineup in the list with the other Jews who lost their Chelek Olam Haba. That itself was this chus for Bilam. Yeah, but Misas his death, his loss of Olam Haba, yes, Soch Misas Yisroim should be with the death, the loss of those who are straight. Hey, Bnei Yisrael, Osim Shav to Olam Haba, the Bnei Yisrael who lost their Olam Haba. The Kfi Anira. Now here says Reb Tzadok a very interesting thing. He says Kfi Anira. It seems to Reb Tzadok, called Ikar Nevuas Bilam, all of Bilam's prophecy, Haisarak Al Osam Poshe Yisrael, was only concerning those criminal elements in Am Yisrael, she'avdu olam haba, who lost olam haba. Why? Sharei hu nistakel rak la'azkir chatei Yisrael. Bilam's whole point in coming to see Am Yisrael and focus on them in order to curse them was to focus on their shortcomings. So who did he come to see? He didn't come to see the tzaddikim. He knew with the tzaddikim he doesn't have any angle. He's going to try and get a handle or a grasp on the Rishoyim and say, oh, look at Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's so many Rishoyim and Am Yisrael, you should destroy the nation. They're not a worthwhile nation to keep around. So Bilam's focus in his attempt to curse was on the Rishoyim and Am Yisrael. And he wanted to use that as the handle and get Kodesh Baruch Hu mad at everybody else. And nonetheless, Kodesh Baruch Hu came along and changed the Nevuah L'Toivah. Why? To show that even the Rishoyim in Am Yisrael, they too are on a very high madrega. And says Reb Tzadok, "V'gam ein shum birya masig mashul malam imenu." Furthermore, nobody can perceive that which is above them. I'm not sure exactly where he gets this, but amuzal tzadikim burim ein lo rasa, that the tzadikim burim and I cannot behold. Vainu ein avi, so the avim of Am Yisrael have no perception as to the high level of the tzadikim and the Jewish people. V'imkein avi umos ha'olam, and if so, even the prophets and the goyim, afbali tshuva, even those who would do tshuva, b'chla ayin l'rosa, they have no perception of the level of tzaddikim. And he was a prophet of the Goyim who doesn't have a Chelek Olam Haba. Vaday lo isigiz miYisrael. He wasn't able to grasp in Am Yisrael Gamkin El Madregos Osim Shelein Chelek Haba, any level higher than those that know Chelek Olam Haba. Vaozeh Ya Ikar Tainas Bolok, and this was the primary complaint of Bolok. What did Bolok complain to Bilam? Kisa Sein Aretz. The Jews, they took over Ein Aretz. Ritzon Olamari meant to say Haretz Hayadua. What do you mean by Aretz? He didn't mean just the physical, spatial land. What do we say? Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, Shenemar Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim L'Olam Yirshu Aretz. Your nation, all Tzadikim, they will all inherit the land. What is the land referred to in that pasuk? Olam Haba. Now, what went on in Bullock's mind here, and you have to understand, Reb Tzadok is about to give us a whole description of what was going through Bullock's mind and Bilam's mind, and none of what he's about to say necessarily took place. Because there is, of course, a conscious level of thought and a subconscious level of thought. Any individual can be doing things for reasons which are motivating that individual, which that person is not aware of themselves. We all know that because we're all familiar with psychology and how there's the conscious and the subconscious. But it's much more so when we deal with leaders of nations. Because we know that every leader of a nation in our tradition is seen as capturing the essence of that nation. That's why there's a pasuk in Mishlei which indicates that leaders of nations have less bechira, they have their bechira curtailed. And it's something like Leim Malachim Yisrael B'yad Hashem, although I don't think that's the exact lotion of the pasuk. Because nations are led to their destiny by God. Individuals are not, but nations are. And that's why a national leader, by definition, for things which have to do with his nation, is curtailed or limited in their bechira. They don't have free will in everything they do. And their motivations are very often not their own motivations, but subconscious spiritual motivations which have to do with the destiny of nations in this world as determined by God. Now, what was Bala coming in saying, Kisa Sein Aretz? What he thought he was saying, let's say he didn't know what he was saying on a subconscious level. What he's on a conscious level is saying is that, hey, they're all over the place, the Jews. They're going to suffocate us. They're going to take over all our lands. What he really was saying, says Reb Tzadok, was, they took over all the opportunities to reach Olam Haba. At Matan Torah, the Jews were given the Torah. They were given Olam Haba. They were given the tool. All of us have lost our opportunities which we had before. Before it was a level playing ground. Now it's no longer level anymore. Now they have the easy track, and we don't have barely any opportunities to reach Olam Haba. For us, it's much harder. And certainly not the same type of Olam Haba which they're getting. That's what Balak was telling Bilam. And that's what Bilam's L'shem Shamayim, in a warped sense, which he thought was. He was saying, hey, let's go back to the situation before Mount Torah. It's not right that you have this chosen nation. Not only that, they're not worth it. Look, there's so many Rishoyim among them. So therefore, let's go back to the level playing field of before Mount Torah. Let's go back to everybody being capable of achieving Aretz in the same way. That's why he wanted, in his perspective, to attack Am Yisrael, in order to return everything to its previous situation. Let's see Reb Tzadok further. V'zeyor iyaz Bolok. This is what Bolok saw. I skipped here. Ritzomar aretz ha'yidua k'der shakosov, like it says, k'der shalim chelok ha'bah, shnemar v'ameh chulik, gomer lom yish aretz, ha'rei de'eretz romeitz olam ha'bah. V'zeyor iyaz Bolok. And this is the perspective of Bolok. Shnemar, as it says, v'yar, mash b'shul v'ad ro'a v'lo achirin. It seems that Bolok saw this and nobody else. V'haynu. Why is it so? The Inyan HaMori, it said many times in Pasuk, this Reb Tzadok is amazing, what Reb Tzadok is about to say. He says many times in Pasuk, he speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu and Dvarim reiterates how terrible the Emori were. Sichon and Og, those were the Emorim. They were horrible, terrible, very difficult to conquer that land. Come upon him, it says, B'shivcho praises the Emori, Asher Kegova, Rosim Govo, V'choson, this is not Psukim in Torah, but in Tanakh, where they were high like the cedars, very high and mighty, V'gomer, V'chule, Chenis, Karbahala, Godo, and so too in the Hala, Godo, right, all the Kilom Chazdos, it says, Milchem, Sichon, V'og, specifically, Kilom Chazdo, Sheyesh, B'zeh, Chesed, Olami, which seems to indicate that there was some great world-encompassing chesed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing us to capture Sichon and Og. The Gam Ad Nisyoi Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Vashal Miog. And also we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was very afraid of Og. Vada Eino B'Shul Gerosim Levad. It can't be just because they're very strong. The Kav Yashar Yisbar Chayin Chiluk Ben Gibor and Chal Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu knew God was on his side. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og. As tall as Og might have been, as powerful as Og might have been, God doesn't, vis-a-vis God, it doesn't make a difference how tall and how big Og is. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid of? And why was he praising the victory over Sichon and Og so much? Also, there's a difficulty in Pasuk. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu sent Sichon a message, hey, let's make peace. We know that Sichon's from the seven nations. Shenitnu Yisrael, we're given up time. So what was he afraid of? Why did he send the message to make peace? He should just go fight a war. Of course he's going to win. Rakia Dua, but it's known. Mashanemara Og. It says about Og, the Polat Midora Mabo. It says about Og. Remember, Og was the one who came to Avraham Avinu and told him Lot was taken captive. And it says, Vayovo HaPolit, the refugee came. And Chazal say, where was he a refugee from? He's a refugee from Dora Mabo. Everybody remembers that Og was very tall. He went and stood on a high mountain. And he wrote out the Mabul. He was still left from the Dora Mabul. It says, "Miyeser haRefoim," from those Refoim, from those giants, the Bnei Elohim, who are mentioned at the end of Parshas Bereishis. Og was left from that generation. Vadeinu b'chinam. It must be that the fact that he survived the Mabul was not for naught. Rakshuhu ayonaki mecheti Dora Mabul al korchach. It must be that, in a certain extent, he was clean of the sins of the Mabul. We do a mashenem Rabbi Zohar, and it's known that the Zohar says, "Dehaya roi lios mata Torah b'dora Mabul." Mata Torah could have been in the door of the Mabul. Vayoz ganke Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'sham, and there was a possibility of there being a Moshe Rabbeinu in the door of the Mabul, because it says we know at the end of Parshas Bereishis, b'shagam hu bosar, and Chazal tells us a very simple gematria, b'gematria is Moshe. B'shagam in gematria is Moshe. Imole zochu, if they merited, they would have received the Torah. Rak shebechetam nishapech shefa mei Torah lemei Mabul. But because of their averos, the flow of Torah changed into a flow of a flood. So what happened here? What happened to the time of the Mabul? It means that the generation of the Mabul is a generation of great potential. Had they used their potential properly, they would have been able to receive the Torah. The desecration of potential is much greater when there was much greater potential to begin with. That's why the Dora Mabul had to be destroyed. Because if you misuse talent, it's much worse than if you misuse great talent, it's much worse than if you misuse mediocre or little talent. If somebody doesn't have much talent to begin with, their averos are not very talented either. If somebody had great talent to begin with, when they do averus, their averus are much worse and much more devastating. Now, at the time of the Mabul, Chazal and the Zohar tell us there was a great potential, such great potential that had they done the right thing and coalesced around Avodas Hashem and listened to Noach, they would have been able to achieve Matan Torah. And there was a possibility of having a Moshe in that generation. But they muffed up. They muffed up so badly, and they were so talented that they had to be destroyed. But one guy wasn't destroyed. Og. So Og must have been somebody who had great potential, and wasn't so corrupted as the rest of the generation. And says of Tzadik going further, it's amazing what he's about to say. V'chein isa b'zvachim. And it says in Zvachim, d'b'shas man Torah, at the time of the Torah, niskab to most olam lebilam. The going came to Bilam. Now, Reb Tzadik here goes into brackets. It's hard to retain the train of thought, but the brackets are so interesting, it's worthwhile doing it. He said, there are midrashim which argue, there are gemaras which argue about how old Bilam was. There's one gemara which says in Chelek, the Bilam ben Shloshim v'sholosh Nerag, Bilam was killed and he was 33. Now, he was killed when this whole episode took place with Balak and Bilam, the 40th year. In the 40th year, right before they entered Eretz Yisrael. So it was Bilam, according to this Gemara, Bilam wasn't yet born when Matan Torah took place. He was only 33 then. Matan Torah took place 7 years before he was born. So how could all the nations of the world come to Bilam at the time of Matan Torah? It's not possible according to this Gemara. V'ubishnas memlitzis v'ayinkein nola shiva shani ma'achar ma'antara. He's born 7 years after ma'antara. V'tzorech loymar, you have to say like this, and this is a key to many ma'amori chazal. K'mo d'shorish nefesh Moshe Rabbeinu lo v'sholom nikra Moshe. Kanal. It says that it could have been a Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of ma'antara, at the time of the Mabul. It's not that Moshe would have born there, would have been born at that time, but the concept of a giver of Torah existed at the time of the Mabul. In other words, that concept of Moshe, as opposed to the individual called Moshe, already existed. And that was a potential possibility at the time of the Mabul, the time of the Great Flood. The source of the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu. The concept of a Moshe is called Moshe. Like we mentioned before, that concept already existed at the time of the Mabul. The Chaim b'Talmud, and so too in the Talmud, Moshe Shapir Kamat. We find that some Amoraim called each other Moshe. Aleza Tamachochem Ador. When they found the Tamachochem in their generation, Sheyeshbo Michochma, it's Moshe Rabbeinu, had wisdom tantamount to Moshe Rabbeinu, they called him Moshe. Kach Bilam, so too the name Bilam, it's not just the name of a person, it's a concept. Bilam is also who keneged hadas the sitra achra. That Bilam is the word and the concept which personifies the intellect and wisdom of the other side of the goyim. Ha'izbonanus to umas olam b'daiton, the analysis of the goyim in themselves and their destiny. Nikra shenis kapsula Bilam. What does it mean that at the time of Mantar all the goyim gathered to Bilam? It doesn't mean that Bilam existed yet necessarily. It means the concept of Bilam. The potential for greatness in Goyim was threatened, in fact lost, at the time of Matan Torah. It was that time when the level playing field was lost for all times. Goyim no longer had the same capability and potential and inclination towards Avodas Hashem and Olam Haba, which Jews had. They lost it then. And that's why they turned at that point to their own destinies and their own potential and said, what's going on here? We lost something major at the moment. And it doesn't mean necessarily they turned to the person called Bilam, but they turned to the concept called Bilam. And similarly, that's amazing, Ratzadah. Masha Kosuv, that which it says, everybody knows, as a measure, it says that Paro had three counselors, right? Everybody knows that. Who were they? Bilam was one, obviously. Who are the others? Eov and Yisro, right? So it says, Eov, Yisro said not to make the Jews work, and that's why he merited that Moshe Rabbeinu became his son-in-law. Eov was silent, that's why he was afflicted, and Bilam said, work the Jews hard, and that's why he was punished with the tragic end which he met. So that happened a long, long time ago. Bilam's... from the perspective of the story in Parshas Balak. That was 40 years after Am Yisrael came out of Egypt. And Am Yisrael, we know, was worked hard for at least 80 years before they left Egypt, if not longer, right? They said they were down there for 210 years, but at least 80, if not more, were hard labor. So that means Bilam was alive for 120 years. Same like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a long time if he was one of the counselors who was there at the original meeting. And so if that's the case, Lefiza Herich Yomim Harbe. He was alive for a very long time. Harbe Mod. Vareisa, we know it says, Anche Delmi Mirmo Liechzu Yameim. It says people who are men of blood and treachery, they don't live a long time. They don't even live half their lives. So after you lived 120 years. Uva Sefer Yashar and Rabbeinu Tam in his book called Sefer Yashar Kosav, he answered, the Oitz Parahoya Bilam Acher. There are two Bilams. One Bilam is the Bilam in the story in the Torah in Parshas Balak, and his grandfather, Bilam Sr., was the one who was Paro's counselor. See, he learned something new every day. I had no idea about any of this before today. So, but the Loshon of Chazal, certainly not Mash the way. Doesn't seem that it was a different Bilam, or that there were two Bilams. V'chei ma'ashkosim, and so to what it says, avayar sakeni ima isi ba'itza. It says explicitly in the Medrash that when he says vayar sakeni v'aysa mishlo v'yomar, he said, hey, you were with me, Yisro. Keni was Yisro. You were with me when we had this whole plot with Paro. How come you're so successful and we're not? Aval HaKavona, but here he says too, it's not pshat that, you're right, it's not pshat that Bilam lived so long. Rather, HaKavona, Kamosh Kosamnu, the Shoresh, Hadas, the Sitra'acha, Nikar Bilam. The wisdom and plans for destiny of the Goyim are called Bilam. Bein Shoy, some Lubeshes, Bezen Nefesh, Prati, Bein Shoy, Bedas, Paratmo. It doesn't necessarily mean, says Rav Tzadok, that Eov, Yisro, and Bilam were in the room with Paron speaking to him. Rather, the concept of a Yisro, which is the good part of the good potential in Goyim, to become subservient and connect to Am Yisrael. The bad element in a Goy, which is the Bilam in Goyim, which is the one to oppose and create strife and try and bring down Am Yisrael. And the Eov, which is the in-between, the ambiguous element in the Goyim, which is somewhat good and somewhat bad towards Am Yisrael. Those are three concepts and three parts of Paro's mind, which were at work, trying to figure out what to do with the Jews. It's not that they were actual people necessarily, but those concepts represented by Bilam, Eov, and Yisro were in Paro's mind. It's amazing shots. Yeah.
Well, you need to take a Midrash and say it's figurative.
That's right.
It's symbolic of something.
That's right.
You don't have to take it literally.
That's right. Maral does it all the time.
Figuratively than it's literally.
That's right. Maral does this all the time. But, you know, to see it applied to this Medrash is a very powerful thing to see.
Not many teachers teach it that way.
No, I don't think many teachers know this from Tzadok. Yeah. What? You have to say that type of attitude brings Yisurim to Goyim. It's not, I mean, obviously one can explain, the Yisurim had nothing to do necessarily with this episode, but the Medrash is using that as a metaphor to connect. An Eov-type personality, an Eov concept, is what brings about the Yisurim that the Goyim are afflicted. But, you know, that's one would have to darshan the rest of the Medrash metaphorically as well. Okay? What? You could say Eov never existed, that's right. So in any event, at that time, the Goyim came, the Goyim came to Bilam and said, Shema Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Mabu. Maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu's being another flood. They didn't know what was going on. Shekefin Yoram Hayu Choshvim Shefa Mei Torah Bola Olam LeMei Mabu. They thought that this Torah, which is coming to the world, is like a Mabu. In other words, they didn't know to differentiate between the two. They didn't know whether now was the time when there would be a marble or the Torah was being given. But in essence, for them, it was the same thing. Because a marble is a physical destruction. Now the Goyim were going to have, so to speak, a spiritual destruction. That level which they would be able to achieve, they would lose now for all time. And then he goes on to describe, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og. Because he knew that Og, and Sichon also brings down here, had this chus, that they were able to survive the Mabul. That means that they were, in a certain element, shayach to Matan Torah. They had some degree of Kedusha within them. And that's what his fear was of them. And that's what Bilam was coming to try and restore, that the Matan Torah should not have, for all time, brought about this higher level for Am Yisrael, and that they are significant, more significant than the Goyim, and have the fast track to Kedush and Olam Abba over the Goyim for all time. And then he goes on to say, it's really late, I'm not going to be able to finish all I want to do, obviously, but he says, as usual, he goes on to say that there's a Chazal which says in there in Masechta Sanhedrin, that although there's several, I'll show you, I'll tell you where it is, so if you want to see it yourself, you can see it yourself. It's in the paragraph which begins Vizel. I'm sorry, the paragraph which begins Vizel. Yeah, the paragraph which begins Vizel on the bottom right, and then there's something in the paragraph which begins V'amru as well. But in any event, he says that, it says in Chazal that Darshan Rishumos Hayomim, the people who darshaned Rishumos, notes, used to say that Kulam Yishlim Chel Kolam Abba, all the Jews mentioned the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, they all, even those who said they don't have a Chayek Olam Haba, they all do have a Chayek Olam Haba. So it doesn't mention Bilam there. Why says Reb Tzadok? Because Rishumos means the impression. All Jews have an indelible impression in their heart that they're Shayek Olam Haba. They were made, and that's what Matan Torah did to the Jews. It was like a Geirus process which gave them a new type of neshama. The neshama they were given is the neshama which is olam haba dik and neshama and closer to kedusha, and of course the ger can acquire that as well. But they were given that indelibly for all generations, and therefore it's not possible for those the dorshei rishumos who know what the impressions within the heart of a Jew are to contemplate that Jews don't have a chelek olam haba. And that's why Chazal wanted, brings down here Masech the Brachos, that Chazal wanted to make the Parsha of Balak, they wanted to make a part of Kriya Shema. They didn't put it into Kriya Shema because it wasn't, they would take too long to say every morning. And they alluded to it in the, with that which they we mentioned in the third Parsha of Shema, Parsha Sittis, which is not integrally part of Shema, Chazal put it in there, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why Parsha's Balak? And why is Yitzias Mitzrayim take instead? In order to demonstrate to us that we have this high level of innate Kedusha and innate Shaychus to Olam Haba, which were given at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is why there was such difficulty getting out of Egypt, why Paro was so much against it, why that Bilam in Paro was so against the Jews going out, because he knew that the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim would culminate in this distinction for all times between Am Yisrael and the Goyim, and therefore he didn't want to let us out. And the Parsha Bilam, were we to have said it, it's even more explicit that the Kedusha was put in Am Yisrael for all time, and that's what Bilam was trying to oppose. It turns out that Bilam thought he was motivated by Kedusha, but in the final analysis he was a Goy. And the pshat in the Goy was that even though he thought he was holy, when it came out what his actual soul was, it was base and corrupt. And the thing you see that in his Talmidim, who themselves were base and corrupt and have the all the traits which are the exact opposite of what a Talmid of Avraham Avinu has. Okay, stop.